Good afternoon and welcome to the Reedley Planning Commission regular meeting for Thursday, November 3rd, 2016. If everyone please stand and face the flag for our Pledge of Allegiance.
Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Okay. Ellen, can we get an attendance roll call, please?
Sure. Commissioner Barcelos?
Here.
Commissioner Hudson?
Here.
Commissioner Perez?
Present.
Here. Now we're in the portion of a public comment. This provides an opportunity for the members of the public to address the Planning Commission on items of interest to the public within the Commission's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. So we have no public comment on any items that are not on the agenda, so we're going to move on to basically to consent the agenda of our previous meeting. So we have minutes from the regular meeting October 20th, 2016. Commissioners, did you guys have a chance to look at the minutes and any concerns, questions at this moment? No? Now I'm going to go ahead and file a motion to approve. Could I get a second?
I second that motion.
Okay, could I get a roll call, please? Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcelos?
Yes.
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
All right, so we're moving right along. So this is part of the public hearing that staff is going to go ahead and present regarding why we're here tonight. Ellen?
Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. The item before you this evening is more commonly known as the Blossom Trail Project, but we're looking at three different entitlement applications, which are General Plan Amendment Application 2015-2, Change of Zone Application Number 2015-2, and Vesting Tentative Subdivision Map Number 6129. This project is located on the southwestern corner of Manning and Zumwalt Avenue, so it's kind of in the northeastern portion of the city. It is approximately a 40-acre project, and it is surrounded by a school, Silas Barch School to the south, agricultural, and a few single-family residences to the north and the east. And then to the west, we have the Alight Manufacturing business, as well as the commercial businesses further along Manning Avenue. So that's the surrounding area we have. At this time, the eastern half of the property, it does show that it is agricultural land, but the trees have been taken out on half of the property. So the image is a little bit outdated, but the school, the commercial, the housing, that is all currently there. So the first entitlement we're going to look at this evening is the general plan amendment application. So there is a little bit of history to the Blossom Trail project because the original Blossom Trail project was approved by the City of Reedley City Council back in 2010. And the image on the left shows the proposed planned land use designations for the original project. So they had community commercial along Manning in addition to medium density residential and low density residential and high density residential, as well as a 5-acre public park. So the project has been revised, and so the proposed planned land use designations are on the right image. So it's essentially a reconfiguration of land uses here. So we have service commercial, which has been reclassified, and neighborhood commercial along the northern portion of the site, and it is along Manning Avenue, so it is extending the commercial corridor more east. And then you still have the single or low density, medium density, and high density residential land uses on the southern portion of the property. And then the 0.5-acre park has been removed from the proposed project. So when you are looking at changing or reclassifying land uses, the determination has to be made that the proposed land uses are consistent with the general plan and its various land use goals. So there were quite a few goals that this project achieved, but I did want to look at three important ones that this project helps achieve and further implement our general plan. First one is related to new development, both residential and commercial, and it shall be designed in a way that creates fully integrated neighborhoods with a variety of land uses arranged so that access by walking or bicycling is possible and encouraged. So this project, not only does it have commercial and residential uses on one property or one project, it also provides a pedestrian access point connecting the commercial to the residential. And I will show a plan later that does show where that is, but it does connect commercial and residential. So technically, if you lived in the southeastern portion of the site, instead of having to drive around up to Manning and almost literally making a U-turn into the project, you can actually walk through the neighborhood and go to that pedestrian access point. The other two land use goals, 2.7G and 2.7K, are related to ensuring adequate commercial shopping opportunities and office uses to meet anticipated need for economic development. And the next one is to designate sufficient commercial land to accommodate growth for the entire planning horizon. So not only does this project maintain the commercial and residential land uses, it also provides more developable land for economic development purposes and to provide more commercial and office needs for the entire community as well as the people that would live and visit the project. And that is all being done within the 2030 planning horizon because it is being designated and will be developed. Moving on to the next entitlement, which is the change of zone application 2015-2. Apologize for the left diagram, but that is the original project's zoning designations, and they mirror the land use designations. You have the open space, the neighborhood commercial on the top left, and low, medium, and high density residential zone districts. But as you can also see, the right image shows the proposed zoning, so that also mirrors the general plan amendment application. So it has the service commercial on the top left, neighborhood commercial, with the residential on the southern portion of the property. Since the land use and zoning mirror each other, it can be determined that the zoning is consistent with the general plan. But if you also look at Title 10, Chapter 25 of the Reedley Municipal Code, the proposed uses as part of this project are included in the list of permitted and conditional use matrix, and the corresponding zone districts reflect the proposed uses, so there is consistency there. In addition, since there's also subdivision of land involved with this project, the proposed lots meet the lot area requirements in order for the lots to be buildable, so they are consistent with those area requirements in the code. And just as a note, there will be further review to ensure consistency when the commercial land is being developed, so when they start building the buildings, those will go through a site plan review process to ensure consistency at that time too. So moving on to the vesting tentative subdivision map. So we're rearranging land uses, classifying land uses, we're moving and changing colors on the map, and we are also subdividing property. So this is the 68 lot subdivision of the subdivision map. As you can see, there are on the northwestern portion of the property, there are three parcels that will be subdivided intended for office uses. And then right below that, there's a 2.6 acre parcel that is proposed for a mini storage facility of about 205 units. And then if you look at the northwest eastern portion of the property, there are five commercial lots, which is about 8 acres total of commercial land that is to be developed. And then the southern portion of the property shows that there are approximately 55 single family units, and then there are about two and a half acre parcels on the southeastern portion that are planned to be apartments. So that all of the approximately 40 acres will be subdivided into these lots for those specific uses. And as you can also see, there are street constructions being done as well. So Tobu Avenue along the western property line, Zumwalt Avenue, and then the interior streets as well. So there are findings that need to be made in the Subdivision Map Act, which is California government code, as well as our local municipal code ordinance, or municipal code. And those points were included in the staff report, but I'll go through them briefly this evening. The proposed tentative map should be consistent with the general plan, and so the uses proposed are consistent with the general plan. The design or improvement of the proposed subdivision is consistent with the general plan. There you go. The site of the proposed subdivision is physically suitable for the type of development. Since it is a fairly flat piece of land, there's no geographic issues or anything associated with the property, and the type of development is physically suitable because all the lot and area requirements are met for the proposed lots. The site of the proposed development is physically suitable for the proposed density because you have to follow the general plan densities of 4 to 8 dwelling units an acre for low density, et cetera. So the property is not too dense where everybody is going to be stacked on top of each other. The land uses are spread out. Kind of going along with that, the proposed subdivision and improvements are not likely to cause a substantial environmental damage. And as you can see in the environmental assessment attached to that, it is determined that that is not the case. Any future development as a result of these applications will follow all applicable health and safety codes. That's likely to not cause serious health problems as a result of the subdivision. There are no easements through the property, so there won't be any there won't be any access issues because there are streets that will be constructed, and it's not blocking, the property is not providing access to another property, so if the subdivision goes through, they won't have that problem. There are conditions imposed by the Subdivision Map Act, as well as the conditions of approval that are part of the project, so that finding can be made because we do have those conditions set in place if the map is approved and if development occurs. And along the lines of density, the design of a subdivision should provide future passive or natural heating or cooling opportunities in the subdivision. So based on setbacks and based on the placement and orientation of the lots, you won't have a really warm portion of the property because of the way the buildings are situated. So, wind can still blow through the buildings and the streets and that sort of thing. So those opportunities will be achieved as part of the subdivision. Some conditions of approval to note for the property. These are primarily, these are attached to the vesting subdivision map, because as a result of creating those lots, you do have to do street improvements and et cetera. So looking at street improvements, because the Manning and Zumwalt Avenue that are there now, they're two-lane county roads, so those will need to be widened. So the applicant is required to construct two-thirds of Manning Avenue, as well as provide a left turn lane on Manning Avenue so that people going westbound towards the city can turn left into the project. So there is a designated left turn lane instead of stopping in the road to turn left, so you can go into the lane. There's also a future median proposed on Manning Avenue, which will create left turn pockets to get into the project. But when that occurs, the applicant will pay their proportionate share of the southern half of that median. Zumwalt Avenue is along the eastern part of the project, so it is required that the applicant construct two-thirds of that from their property to outward. So at the Manning and Zummel Avenue intersection, the applicant is required to have a designated left turn and right turn lane there. So if somebody is waiting behind people that are turning right and they want to turn left, they don't have to wait and they won't create stacking at that point. So they'll have two different lanes for people to go through. And there is also a median proposed along Zumwalt Avenue, so that will be done in the future when the other side of the Zumwalt develops. As you probably know, the Silas Bartsch School is along North Avenue, and they constructed their portion of the street because that's how they take access to the school. So since this project is across North Avenue, they will construct the northern half of North Avenue, including a proposed median there as well. And since Tobu Avenue is entirely within the project, full construction of that street will be required. And similar to the Manning and Zumwalt intersection, there will be separate left and right turn lanes at the intersection so that traffic won't be stacked at that intersection as well. And of course, full construction of the local residential streets within the project is also required. Something that will be part of our recommendation at the end of the presentation, but as you could tell from the aerial image, there is some agricultural land or county land that's surrounding the area that has been there prior to the development. So staff is recommending that a right to farm covenant be executed for future property owners. So a right to farm covenant is essentially an acknowledgement for the people that plan to buy houses in this project, that they are acknowledging that there are agricultural uses around them. So if there's dust or if there's noise from tractors or farm equipment, that they acknowledge that those are there and will continue to be there. So that will occur as the properties are sold. In addition, the Buttonwillow Ditch is owned by Alta Irrigation District, and the Buttonwillow Ditch runs along the northern and western property, the northern and western property line, so along Manning and then along the western property line. And so there are some portions that are undergrounded, some that are not, but this the ditch has to be taken into consideration, and it has been through easements. So the irrigation lines are allowed to still be there, and they cannot be built on. So, for example, this is the Manning Avenue cross section. So as you can see, there's a little hill that is, sorry about the noise there. There is that little hill, which is called a berm, that is along Manning Avenue. So the cross section, you have the street, the Manning Avenue street, you have the sidewalk, and then that berm will be the easement and the irrigation line will be under that, and then you'll have the commercial and office uses. So it will be set back from the street, but that has to be done because the irrigation easement or the irrigation line does need to remain there. And then a similar easement will be shown along North Tobu Avenue as well. So this is a preliminary site plan that the applicant has provided. This is just it's an illustration of what the building orientation and would look like for the commercial, office, and mini storage uses, as well as the apartment. So the single family homes will just need to get building permits, but for the apartment complexes and the commercial pieces, in whatever phase they come in, they will have to go through a site plan review process so that we will see the design of the buildings, the parking, and the office buildings and landscaping and all of that. So that will be addressed in the future. Moving on to the environmental assessment for the project. Because there was the original project in 2008, there was an environmental assessment done at that time. It was an initial study and a mitigated negative declaration that was prepared in 2009 for the original project. The mitigation measures that were identified in 2009 were included in, as part of the project to address impacts to air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, noise, and traffic and transportation. So because the existing condition of the site had not changed significantly, there were environmental hazards that had appeared within those few years. So a lot of the same determinations from the 2010 or the 2009 initial study could still be made today. So so an addendum was done to evaluate those things, add additional analysis to help supplement the previous mitigated negative declaration. I'm sorry, I don't know what that sound is. it sounds like ringing, but anyway, so the addendum was included as part of the packet, and because the project rearrangement, there was a traffic impact study that was done that for the revised project, and it actually showed that there would be 1,000 less trips or less daily trips generated for this project compared to the previous project. So with less trips, there's less air quality impacts. So so that was analyzed at this point. So the same mitigation measures for air quality, biological resources, cultural resources, and noise were the same as the 2009 initial study and MND, so there were no changes to those mitigations. But because of the revised traffic impact study, some of the mitigation measures were either removed because they weren't applicable to the proposed project, or they were modified. For example, one of the mitigation measures in 2009 was to signalize Dinuba and button willow. But as we know, that instead of signalizing it, they constructed a roundabout. So that mitigation measure wouldn't apply anymore because you don't signalize roundabouts. So that was removed. So those mitigation measures were modified a little bit, but it was determined that no substantially greater significant effects would happen as a result of the proposed project. So that's why the addendum was done. So staff's recommendation this evening is for the Planning Commission, through resolution number 2016-11, to recommend to the City Council approval of the general plan amendment, the change of zone application, and the vesting tentative subdivision map. There were two more recommendations to add this evening, because for one, number one, the right to farm condition was not included in the conditions of approval in the packet, so staff is recommending that be added to the recommendation to City Council. And then the second one is to add a condition, but to clarify something that was already there. So the city has something called a community facilities district. There's an assessment on the property tax that pays for fire facilities, utilities, police facilities, utilities, and parks maintenance. So there is an annexation process for that that's done at the city level. And there is there's an initiation process, but the property owner shall provide written consent to initiate that annexation process. That petition or consent form was included in the packet, but the condition was not expressly mentioned in the conditions of approval. So to be transparent and to make sure that is included in the conditions, staff is recommending that also be added as part of the recommendation. So when this goes to council, these two items would be included in the conditions of approval packet. That concludes staff's report. I know that we do have the applicant and his representative here. We have Mr. Paul Wagner and Mr. Matt Lewis. I want to thank them for coming out tonight, and they can speak on behalf of the project if you have any questions, but I'm also happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ellen. Commissioners, Do you guys have any questions?
I know that this is a zoning public hearing, but since you brought it up, I feel compelled to bring it up. The ditch is not going to be covered, but it is covered when it runs parallel to the school. So is the liability different here?
Well, the that is still under discussion. That would still be under discussion with Alta Irrigation District, so they ultimately would be deciding whether it's undergrounded or not. Because they definitely do need to acquire the easement, but they may or may not underground it. I'm assuming that they will, because of the liability for that.
Okay. The other one, and I probably will beat Mr. Waters to it, but I'll bring it up. The exit from Tobu to Manning concerns me, because right next door, Thiele Technology has a large parking lot, and that's their exit. So right. I'm not sure how we're going to address that, but it is an issue.
Right, because it is directly adjacent to the intersection, so you have people turning, they could be turning left or right into that, and then right after that, they would go onto Tobu
Avenue.
Exactly. So that, depending on the phasing of the project, when that Tobu portion comes in, then that would be something that would be addressed at that time to address that issue. Because, I mean, an option could be to have an entrance beyond Tobu Avenue, but that would be something to be discussed between the applicant and Thiele Technology when that phase of the project comes in.
You also mentioned that along North Avenue, a portion of that will be the responsibility of Kings Canyon Unified School District to build that other portion?
No, that they have already fulfilled their obligation.
Oh, they have.
Yeah, to construct the, but it's only, I think it is about 2/3 of the street that they constructed when they built the school. So the applicant will be responsible for the rest of it.
The north part.
The north part, yes.
The north part,
thank
the
you.
Curb, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So the part, yeah, because there's no curb, gutter, sidewalk on the subject property, so that will be constructed. So North Avenue would be a completely constructed street.
Mr. Chair, that's all I have.
All right. Anyone else? Does anyone in the public want to say anything? This is your opportunity to make a comment, any concerns, just in general. And if you don't mind, just stating your name and your address, if you don't
mind,
please.
Yes, I had not planned to speak at all. It was more of an informative, kind of a appointment I had. My name is Stephen Waters. I am the plant controller for Thiele Technologies. We are the property in the light manufacturing facility that is directly west of, I think, the proposed location. We have no opinion for or against the development itself. We would be in favor of that. I think that's a fantastic thing. The only concern we have is, as I listened to the presentation, is the same concern that was brought up by Mr. Perez, and that is the transportation issues that may arise as a result of our parking lot. We have approximately 170 to 180 associates, the majority of which are in that parking lot. We have, as a light manufacturer, we have freight trucks as well as deliveries that happen on a daily basis. And that is our kind of main access point. So I'm assuming that the traffic study took that into account in mitigating any traffic issues. But that would be a concern of ours. And that's it.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Awesome. Thank you, Mr. Waters. Okay. Did you guys want to say something real quick? I'm forcing you.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, my name is Matt Lewis, 2322 East Desert Island Drive in Fresno. We can answer any questions, other questions that you have. And I just want to take the opportunity to thank staff, because we've been working pretty diligently with staff when Kevin was here, and then Ellen through the whole process. And it was a breath of fresh air to have a staff that really helped you and to go ahead and bring this project to, I think we were delivering a better project than what it was before. So
I guess the only thing I have to say is that if there is any concerns or issues that maybe Thiele would have, is there is an opportunity for a forum there to communicate with them?
There's always an opportunity. We want to be good neighbors, so we don't, you know, right. We don't want to make anybody upset with us. So.
Right.
Yeah.
I think that's really important to note that there'll be communication and, you know, observation. I know the traffic analysis did consider that and all that. So, but in the future, I think, you know, Mr. Waters, you know, you saw that, you observed it, and you were like, okay, that might be a concern. So maybe in the future, you guys could communicate in a little bit further into that if there's an issue.
Yes.
So I appreciate that, just your open communication with them.
Mr. Lewis, do you have a proposed, and this is just for information, informational-wise, do you have a sequence of phases that you're going to approach this construction?
Well, being the market as it is, you know, it's impossible to have a crystal ball. But if I had to make a wager on what it was, I would imagine either the commercial piece on Zumwalt Manning, that corner piece there, or maybe a portion of that small residential portion across from the school would be the first phases to go.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Mr. Lewis.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, staff, for the report. We have in front of you, no, he's good. He's commissioners, in front of you, you have resolution that we're going to go ahead and I'm going to read this, and then we're going to decide what we want to do for recommendation to the city council. So let me read this, and I'm going to add the right to farm and the community facilities district amongst this whole resolution. Is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay. And so if you do make a motion, just include that you make a
motion. Okay. So, in front of you, commissioners, you have resolution number 2016-11, and this is a resolution of the City of Ridley Planning Commission recommending to the City Council approval of environmental assessment number 2016-12, an addendum to the mitigated negative declaration dated September 19, 2016, the general plan amendment application number 2015-02, the change of zone application number 2015-02, the vesting tentative subdivision map number 6129, authorizing the subdivision of land pursuant to the Subdivision Map Act, and the two additions, the right to farm condition and the community facilities district. So we have that in front of you. Do I have a motion to approve?
I make a motion to approve as you've read, Chair.
Okay, and can I get a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a second. Could we do a roll call, please, Ellen?
Commissioner Perez?
Yes.
Commissioner Barcellas?
Yes.
Commissioner Hudson?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Thank you, fellas, for being here. You could stick around and hear the exciting news that we have ahead of us, or you're more than welcome to go ahead and exit at any time. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank
no problem.
Gentlemen.
Good night. It's exciting times. All right, so Mr. Tony Stewart, why did I say that? Never going to get old, Mr. Tony Stewart. So we have the director's report next on this agenda, so you have the floor.
All right, thank you. Just a couple quick updates. So. We passed you made a recommendation at last meeting with regard to additional medical marijuana updates and whatnot. But now that we've got Prop 64 potentially passing, we're actually bringing before the council on election night, an urgency ordinance to pretty much ban all non-medical and medical marijuana use in the city and distribution and whatnot. So just kind of give you a heads up that it keeps playing out what you folks already looked at. So there'll be additional regulations. And if Prop 64 does pass, then most likely we'll be bringing these revised regulations once we've got them all boiled down back to you for a recommendation back to council again. So anyway, we'll
as
see.
Part okay. of a larger.
Right. When we're talking about that, when we have to add the recreational marijuana use requirements to that. So we'll see how that plays out.
So if it doesn't pass, we're good.
We're good, yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Just a couple other things. Wyndham Hotels keeps coming back to us. They would really like to come to the city. There's only one problem. We don't have any land for them. So
how many acres do they need?
They don't need very much, but it's just the idea of where they want to go. The property owners, unfortunately, don't seem to be too willing to move on it right now. So I'm not sure exactly what it's going to take to light a fire, but...
Can you divulge where they want to go?
I can guess.
Well, they're wanting a site, actually two sites, one on each end of the city. The one that they're really interested in is the Menominee property. So, and... Menominee is not really moving right now. One of the things...
Tony, why, before you go on, did they not sell the 5 acres? I thought the 5 acres was sold or in the process of being sold, which is the corner?
Yeah, the corner. That was supposed to be potentially for medical offices. Last we talked to them, it's been a few weeks, nothing has really been finalized at this point,
so I
don't know.
So
it's still pretty much up for grabs, from what I understand.
So what's the holdup? If they're willing to sell those 5 acres, is that 5 acres enough for the Wyndham?
Oh, absolutely. I guess it's just, you know, what's happening between the parties, you know, Menominee and
the conversations
with regard to the folks that want to build the medical offices there. I don't know where they are in the process at this point, how excited they are anymore. So we'll see what happens. But the other piece of this is that, and I've been in Nicole's ear since I started here, because I've never seen a regulation like our county has, where in order to annex property, you have to basically have the pretty much development ready to go out there. And every other county I've worked in doesn't have that requirement. So we're going up to talk to the county, and apparently they do have, they're willing to listen to us, and maybe we can change up our memorandum of understanding with them. We're doing that Monday, and hopefully if the county is willing to work with us. The idea is that it would allow, for instance, say the city to initiate some annexations just to get the property into the city, and then maybe make those property owners a little bit more willing to sell because they've gone through that process already where the city's done it for them, and it just makes it more desirable for a developer to come in and probably pay a higher price, and maybe we can get these folks to kind of move on divesting their properties and allowing development to occur.
That second piece of property, is that the one along the river there? Mr. Otani, have we visited that?
Yeah, that's
which is in Fresno County.
Right. And that's the same basic situation. And from what I understand, they're basically, those two property owners are kind of waiting to see who moves first. And since neither one of them is moving very quickly or at all, the other one's not really inclined to do so. But we were hoping also there's the... and I'm trying to think of the name of the packing plant right across the street.
Across the street?
Moonlight. Yeah, but I understand Nicole was really hoping that they might be willing as well. Wyndham wasn't quite as excited about that particular site because it's a little odd-shaped, but I understand that Moonlight at this point probably isn't willing to sell because we've got an application in for them putting solar on their entire property. So it's really the Otani and the Menominee pieces are the two that the city's most interested in seeing happen too, because those are nice big pieces. You know, Walmart was originally supposed to go on the Otani property, and it's still, they're both excellent locations for not only the Wyndham, but, you know, shopping centers and whatnot, so, you know.
And correct me if I'm wrong, is Otani's property all the way to where the stand was And it is all the way up there, so there's no way of grabbing that piece of property east of the river there, or actually, yeah, east of the river on his side. So it's all his property. Okay.
The Jack in the Box, right there, the easement or the little road right there. Where,
yes.
Yeah.
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 So.
Yeah, I think it's three different parcels.
Right.
So we'll keep pursuing them, though. Like I said, Nicole is very interested in seeing this happen as well. It's kind of frustrating for us.
And our issues across on the west side of the river, those properties along there, are we still having issues suggesting anything of such because of the water and sewer issues? And I'm, you know, where the Fresno County, what is that property that's right, as you go across the bridge on the left-hand side, there's 8 acres right in there.
Oh, you're talking about the Fresno County, the one on the right-hand side leaving town?
Yeah, across the street there was 8 acres at one time there also.
It used to be a fuel station for,
for
Fresno
anymore?
County. I used to be able to get in there.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think that property is in the sphere, like across the river on that.
Right across from Wake House.
Yeah, across from Wake House.
Yeah, yeah. That property where the hotel is, adjacent to it, was an 8-acre parcel at one time.
Oh, adjacent to the.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Further west. But didn't we pull back our sphere to the hotel site?
Yeah, we did pull back our sphere.
Only because we didn't have the water there, we didn't want to, and sewer and all that?
Yeah, that's true. Because I believe the Wake House, I think they have water tied in, but I know the campsite is, like, I think it's on septic and they have wells. So the cost of trying to pull all infrastructure across the bridge or even under the river or something would be exponential.
But it's something we really, that's precious. Real estate in there. We need to look at that a little closer.
Our other friends in the other water district as well.
Oh, yeah, there you go.
CAD.
But just so I can get an you know, just ballpark figure, just in my mind, why would a hotel be important or valuable?
Well, because we don't really have one, for one thing. And, for instance, Thiele, especially if they do the expansion, if they're talking about bringing in people from, you know, all over the world, really, we don't really have any place for them to stay. Not only that, but we can get our transit taxes, bed tax and whatnot.
Tax.
So it's actually very important to have a hotel or two here. Right.
It's pretty important to the self-employed, the small businesses down here as well, because when we have overflow, when we have things going on in our community, whether it's Fresno, Visalia, and we have people coming here, we have nowhere for them to be. So what do they say to me? Oh, this is a shame. We stay in Dinuba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all.
But there's nowhere to eat in Dinuba that we want to go to because we were told release the place to go. But you guys don't have anything. It's one of those things. Yeah. What do you say?
So it is very important to have.
Really
because
wish
it just,
we did.
It's a really another use. I mean, we are leaking sales tax dollars
All the time.
From all over. I mean, you know, from everything basically, including, you know, the hotels. I mean, really, to be a well-rounded community, you need to have these services. You know,
right. We have one, two, right?
Sort of.
And one. Sort of.
What about, I'm with you.
What about? There's and I'm sure that may or may not be big enough. So, but you know, where the butane tanks were, that butane service was, there's a vacant spot there. I think Pena owns that from Morosi. Mm-hmm. Our buddy Pena, on Manning Avenue. There's a, and I'm not sure if that's deep enough or wide enough for Wyndham's, but that's a possibility too. And I don't know what's behind that in terms of availability. But that's a possibility too. That's just down the street from the corner we were just discussing.
Yeah, and it's I think that's kind of across from the Save Mart Shopping Center, right?
Yes, correct. Yes.
There's a house behind it.
Yes, right.
It's two lots.
Understand what's on it.
Where you guys used to be.
Okay.
On the right hand side, that open lot there.
Okay.
Yeah. That's open, and I'm sure Mr. Pena wants to sell it.
Well, that would just be a cool thing, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I would not have figured that parcel would have been big enough for them. You know, as you look at it in the shape of it, because it's one, Uncle Joe and Azovia owned the parcel back, and then the parcel that went out, it was just kind of awkward. I'm not sure why Uncle Joe bought that second one later, but...
But that one...
Just odd.
The one that Pena owns is pretty square. And that's why I'm saying, I don't know what's adjacent to it or what's in back of it to allow more room if they needed more square footage. But that's a possibility.
Potentially, yeah. I know that they're doing some late work on their own. It's like I said, they've been in to meet with Nicole a couple of times at this point, being they are serious about coming in here.
They would
a piece of property.
Right.
That's
they would probably dominate. They would have. I mean, it's a big name, so they would. They would probably, you know, fetch a lot of people.
I mean, she's trying to even get them to maybe take the Burgess Hotel and rehab that into a little.
You're just making my day. Awesome.
That would be awesome.
It would be, but I guess they're not quite interested in that. But we would be nice to see.
Downtown,
well, it's nice to get people involved in looking inward to downtown versus what else can we do, because we're landlocked. That part of it. Kind of a nice option.
So we're exploring as many options as we can with them because, like I said, they are very interested in coming
here.
That's
great.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Anyway, that's all I had. I was just going to say that's all I had.
Okay. Sorry.
That was a lot, Tony.
I know. Wow. Awesome. Okay. Well, thank you, Tony, Stuart, for that. I appreciate that. So future agenda items from what I'm looking at here, we don't have anything.
That's correct, yeah.
So this could be a potential last meeting of the year.
It could, yes. Yeah.
Especially with holiday season coming up.
I haven't received any applications that would be scheduled to go
for the end of the year, so at this time.
I will confirm, of course, but
right.
At this time we don't have anything for the rest
of the year.
We'll see what happens after the elections. You know, everybody's saying in the development community that they're just kind of sitting and
waiting
to see
what
happens. So.
Yeah.
Okay.
We may hopefully see an uptick in unexpected activity here. So,
all right.
Fingers crossed.
I can see it now, Trump Tower.
All right, I think that's my cue to adjourn this meeting. So, meeting adjourned.